Grab my drink.
Yeah, get your
my day drink.
Get your day drinking. Marla's day drinking too.
Yeah, what you drink? What's in your cup?
Crown apple.
Me too. And ginger ale, my favorite.
I got my straight.
It's been that kind of day.
Y'all ready to get started?
Let's do it.
Let's get it.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
How long have you been in the Navy?
Oh, me blooming life.
I'm Jamie Britt.
And I'm Heath Britt.
And together we are E14. We have 40 years of naval service.
And each week we discuss a potpourri of topics, which we like to call smoke pit topics.
These are real world topics that concern us, our marriage, and our Navy with a sailor twist.
So join us each week as we dive into the deep end.
Booyah!
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to E14 Podcast. I'm Jamie Britt.
And I'm Heath Britt.
And together we are E14. Today, we've got a very special guest with us, PS1 Marlon Dews. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thanks, y'all, for having me.
Yeah. So before we get started, let me just go ahead and do this disclaimer and get it out of the way. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of our own and not the United States Navy or our respective commands.
You know what that means, right?
What's that?
You can take it or leave it.
You see how he says that? he made it up.
Casey.
Look, he made it up. So, Marlon, you want to introduce yourself for everybody?
Yes. Marlon Dews, PS1 type. Been in the Navy a little over 15 years. I'm dual military. My wife is also PS1 Dews. We have five beautiful sons. Currently, right now, we are stationed here in Norfolk, Virginia, and I have been deployed 6 times.
Ooh.
3 times on the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower, once on the USS Theodore Roosevelt, and twice on the USS Harry S. Truman, where I just my last command.
So he'd like to say he has 13 years of sea duty. So how many does that make for you? 6 times.
As far as sea duty is concerned, mm-hmm.
What's that?
Sea duty is how long you've been.
Well, you say 13 yeah. years.
So if I count actually being on the ship, I'm almost at 8 years.
That's a lot for a guy that's only been 15. Yeah.
Salty.
Yep. Because I really don't count my time at. I was at a squadron too. I was at HS 11.
We don't count that.
Yeah, I'm really at the time when we deploy, but not actually, you know, the time. Yeah. I don't kind of see duty. So
yeah.
As far as actually being on the ship, like my boots on the, you know, the haze gray underway.
Yeah.
Almost 8 years.
When you're getting that sea pay.
Yeah.
So how do people tell you and your wife apart? Do you have to say PS1 dudes, female type, male type?
No, because so she's FTS.
So their
community is, you know, a lot different than ours. So
Typically
when I tell people I'm married male to male, you know, and I tell them my wife is PS1 dudes, they're like, really? Okay. Like they really don't know her per se because she never been on the ship before. Same thing with me, you know, on her side.
Cool, man.
So you're from New Orleans, which is pretty cool because we're here in your home state. Close to your hometown, and you're all the way over there in VA.
I got a question, man. Are you jealous?
I am. I haven't been home since 2017.
Ooh, wow. Can I get a who dat?
Who dat all day, every day. even when we had bad seasons, I still root for them.
Y'all I was have saying bad seasons like every season.
No, like Cowboys fan, a Cowboys fan.
Oh my goodness.
How about them boys?
You know what's bad when you could win a division at 6-10.
I know, right? Losing record and win a division.
Exactly.
You didn't miss much because there was no Mardi Gras this year.
Yeah, so. No Mardi Gras.
I did see that. The mayor said, hey, you can come visit, but we're not opening no restaurants and no bars open, anything like that. So that's...
Yeah, dude. Actually, they were had the police patrolling the streets to make sure nobody was walking around there during Mardi Gras.
Like Bourbon Street was closed off.
And I could only imagine, because that's not the norm. The norm is,
oh, it's packed.
Right when Mardi Gras season comes, even when it's just the very beginning and the parades are trying to just, you know, getting going on, they're still packed. Okay. Whether on the East Bank, the West Bank, right, uptown, downtown, it don't matter. They're packed. People are out. People are drinking, having a good old time, especially on Fat Tuesday.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So and they were questioning people on Bourbon. Like people was just walking like through Bourbon to go somewhere else. And then, what are you doing here? Why are you here? We're like, dang,
dude. And go ahead. Sorry.
And I was gonna say that's not the norm. That's everyone that's from there, that lived there all the whole lives. That's not the norm, you know. To walk around and not see. Not even, you know, bees on the ground or, you know, anything right. like that. It's like, whoa, what's going on?
No beads in the trees.
Yeah. So for exactly. those of y'all listening in that don't know Mardi Gras, real Mardi Gras, this is like a thing that when the floats go by, they throw the beads on the trees. So when it's Mardi Gras season, they're on the high wires, the electrical wires, they're on the trees.
They are everywhere. You will find every little piece of Mardi Gras paraphernalia everywhere.
Don't quote me on this, but I think it's the first time that Mardi Gras has been canceled since like World War II.
Probably. Yeah. Definitely had to do some research on that one. From the time I'll be 35 this year.
Okay.
And up until this year, I've been, you know, Mardi Gras has always existed and always, you know, happened with no issue, you know, without missing a beat.
Right. It's crazy. I came by. It's a crazy year, man. It's a crazy year.
Yeah, I missed all the trash in the streets. Yeah. As crazy as it sounds, like, you know, how you wake up the next morning after the parade and see all the trash in the street. Like, it was kind of eerie see that.
That means you had a good time the night before.
Yeah,
absolutely. especially if you had a hand grenade or two.
Yeah. Damn right. Well, Marlon, I just want to get us kicked off, man. So we're going to talk about unity today.
Yeah. Well, first, I want to shout out your podcast.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Don't forget.
You and your guys are going to start, you and your friends are starting a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we are. So shout out to my brothers, Dwayne Samuel and Albert Mitchell. We've been talking about doing our own podcast, similar to kind of what you guys are doing right now, just, you know, military guys, you know, and girls having a conversation about things that go on, you know, behind the uniform, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, people having to have this kind of idea of what we are as military people, but they don't know kind of the struggles that we kind of deal with on the daily, the ups and downs. You know, when we see things that go on in the world, it affects us too. You know, even though we're bound by certain, you know, rules and regulations, not to really say much about it, but, you know, it affects us too. So we kind of want to have a podcast to kind of have those open conversations and, you know, hopefully be a voice for other people to kind of be able to relate to what we're talking about.
That's so awesome, you're going to tell us the name of the podcast. You're going to keep it on the low.
So our podcast is going to be Keeping It A Mill. We are looking to launch it here very soon. Hopefully by the end of this month. And we still, you know, we still got to work out details, you know, COVID and, you know, up here in Virginia, we're still in HBCon Charlie, so we can't really go anywhere. We can't really be anywhere, anything like that. So we're still kind of working out these details.
Yeah. So everybody stand by because it's coming soon.
Yeah, get a Twitter account because I'm tweeting now.
Oh, gosh.
I'm all over Twitter.
You know what? I never even, as much as I'm as tech savvy as I am, I've never been on Twitter.
I wasn't either until I did this.
Now, yeah. I was like, I can't handle all of the social media platforms. You got to take Twitter. And he's like tweeting full, man. He tweets more than President Trump tweets.
All over the place, man.
He had like 5 tweets before 7 a.m. one day. I was like, okay.
I may have to jump on it. Twitter.
You know, it's good, just so you know, before we get started, there's a lot of podcasters on Twitter. And they're really supportive. They've been awesome to us.
That's good. That's great. That's great.
So it's a good forum for you to network.
Well, definitely. Awesome. We definitely plan on having like Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, you know, Instagram account, you know, to keep, you know, engage our audience, you know, hopefully get listeners out there to, you know, to buy in and, you know, support what we got going on with the movement.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Glad to hear that.
Yeah. So that's one of the ways that we have networked. And so I know that will be beneficial to you. So everybody listening, please, please, please be on the lookout for Keeping It Mill podcast launching
soon. To a podcast forum near you.
Yeah, very, very, very in a very, very close future.
Good deal. Glad to hear it. It's awesome.
So now we can kick off with the topic, because I know you were anxious.
I'm not anxious. I just, you know, I hate dead space, but I forgot about, you know, taking care of Marlon with his podcast. I apologize for that.
No, it's all good. I appreciate you guys' opportunity for letting me come on here to begin.
Oh, our pleasure, man. So let's talk about unity. So, you know, that's important in the military. It's important in any walk of life. Mm-hmm. Teamwork, being a united front, it's huge. So glad we got you on board. Being a PS, you guys are busy up there. You guys take care of the ship when it comes to all their paperwork, all their evals, everything to come to doing with their record. And you came off a carrier where you got about 3,000 or so people to take care of, right?
Absolutely.
So you're a PS1, so you've been an LPO, I'm assuming. So how do you build your team within the group, within your department or division?
For me, it kind of goes back to 2016 when I was at a squadron. Mm-hmm. I had a YNC. He just recently retired. He gave me my first taste of actually being an LPO, a legit LPO, you know, not just having a title or anything like that. It's your show. You figure it out. Let me know if you need any help. And I had two junior YNs, a junior PS, an IT, an OS, two MAs, and two CSs under my wing. And I had to figure out how to get not only these group of young people together, but these group of people who are different rates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From, you know, being in security to supply to combat systems related to admin. How do I get all these people to mesh well to make our mission in admin, you know, move forward? And the easiest thing was transparency.
Yeah.
Me being able to figure out and keep my ear to the ground and figure out what's going on around the command, what things are coming up, who needs what, who do I need to check up on because, you know, of what they may be getting into, and just figuring out a schedule for everybody, making everybody kind of just, you know, sync on the same page.
I like that transparency because I think that's so important in leadership. Yeah. And we've said that, and that's kind of why we created this podcast. Well, one of the many reasons why, but the transparency in leadership has to be seen, and they have to see you as a human being who doesn't know it all.
Absolutely.
You know, who doesn't have all the right answers, but you're going to give it hell to get there, you know?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
And I'll say, so for me, and speaking on that, I made it my business to make sure that one, I'm always honest with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm always open and honest with them. You know, I don't lie to them. You know, sometimes I ran into leaders, you know, where they kind of keep secrets, you know, if you will, and kind of not tell you what the real honest truth is behind the situation, which understand that certain things you can't divulge to get you yourselves. Yeah. Some things you don't need to know. But right. Those things I can tell, those little nuances, the whys, because now we have to update ourselves as leaders with technology, right? Every time you turn around, a new iPhone is coming out.
True.
So we had to kind of update our, you know, leadership tactics. Sailors these days want to know why they're doing something.
And when we joined, it wasn't like that.
No, hell no.
It was like,
not at all.
And that's it.
Absolutely.
I said.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, you know, they want to know why. I'll tell you why. Because if I tell you, I believe if I tell you why, it makes you to understand why. Now you can go out and do what you need to do. So we can go home.
Yeah, that's the end of the day. That's about
it. That was always the end of the day. And then fast forward, when I go to Truman, now I jump from having, you know, under 10 sailors. Now I got about 30 sailors.
Yeah, boy.
And, you know, now I have, you know, a couple other first classes working alongside with me. Because I always told, you know, guys that I work with, you know, my peer group, that you guys don't work for me. We work together.
Yeah.
I may be LPO. Or this person may be LPO, but we all work together to take care of junior sailors.
Yeah.
So now it's, okay, how do I figure this dynamic out? And it was different. It was different having, you know, going from 10 to 30.
Yes.
Yeah, big difference.
in 30 different personalities. And it's, you know, the shipboard mentality is a lot different from being in a squadron.
Yeah.
And oh yeah. You went from laid back Airedales to like in your
absolutely. And it didn't bother me because I was on the ship before, but just kind of being it from a different perspective, I go from being a junior sailor on the ship. Now I'm a senior sailor on the ship and I'm in charge of people now.
Yeah.
So,
right. Yeah. And you know, Marlon, I think what you say is it holds true, and you could be relatable, and you have to show that you're flawed. You're flawed too. We're all flawed.
Absolutely.
Perfect. You got to be humble. And I give the SWOs a lot of hell. I've worked with SWOs my whole career. They're no different than anybody else. They're a little more, they're a little tired. They're staying a lot of watches, but at the end of the day, if you're a hard worker, they're going to appreciate you no matter what, mm-hmm. what background they're at. Definitely. Definitely. And I love what you said about transparency. Like Jamie said, that's, mm-hmm. that is so important. That is 100% important that they know that what you tell them is the God honest truth. And they know you got their back.
And absolutely.
You do that, go to war with you.
Yeah. And absolutely. Like it was a couple of situations where I had to like in front of them, lay down on the sword in front of them.
Yeah.
So they could see that, hey, I got your back. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to support you. I just need you to do your part and do what I ask you to do. Do what I need you to do.
Yeah.
You know, and we going back to that why Navy that we're in now, and it's not wrong. It's just the generation that we, you know, that's coming up into the mm-hmm. Navy. But the honesty, the transparency, when you do have to say those commands that you don't have time to say the why at that point, you know, if you develop that rapport, that ride or die, like, okay, yep, I got you, PS1, I got you, AC1, yep. Eventually, if you have that transparency and those moments when you cannot tell the why because it's busy or whatever, they're like, yep, got you. We'll find out why later, you know?
Absolutely. I took in the first time I had experienced the whole, why I'm doing this type of situation, I had to like dial myself back to realize, remember, okay, you know, like, don't ask me why, just do what I'm asking you to do. And then, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine, and the funniest thing was said, when the young people come in the Navy now, they're 18 years old, they're, mm-hmm. you know, most of them just graduated high school. We expect them to be an adult, you know, to be an adult as we are right now. And not realizing that they're coming from high school, they're coming from a situation where, you know, mom and dad may have been doing any and everything for them, from, you know, doing their laundry,
yes,
cooking their meals, to things like that. And we expect them instantaneously, because they go to boot camp for 2 months, that they're a Navy sailor and they're an adult, which is not 100% true.
Not even 30% true.
Exactly. So we have to mold them. We have to take in, not necessarily meet them on the level, but we have to be willing to kind of, okay, let me come down some.
Yeah.
To where I can get you to come up and meet me halfway.
Right. No, I like that. I like that. You don't come down their level, but you give them something to strive for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. I like that.
Exactly.
I like that a lot. And I'm with you. I'm glad you said that, Marlon, because I remember either I was a first class or a brand new chief, and somebody told me, well, I almost lost my damn mind, man. I held back, but I was like, what? I'm like, you like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. 'Cause I told you so. But I was wrong. And I grew with that. You know, look, if I just take a few minutes to explain something to these guys and gals, they'll do it happily. So meet them halfway, right?
Let me tell you.
Absolutely. Yes. You meet them halfway. And, you know, sometimes it's having those conversations with them. What is that, divisional quarters? What is the one-on-one or just in a group thing? It's like, look, I'm going to earn you guys' trust. You know,
right.
I'm willing to go out on a limb and trust you guys. I just need you to understand, you know, sometimes there's going to be a situation where I say, hey, do this, no questions asked. Then there's going to be a situation where you can ask me questions and I'm going to explain why. And I'm going to give you the big picture why. And not just the right now why, but overall why we're doing particular evolution, or we got to complete a particular task.
Right.
The ultimate goal is to go home.
Exactly. Everybody call, everybody
every
call.
Every day.
Exactly. So for any and everybody that's listening right now, those people that have been on ships, They understand what I'm talking about. Subs too. When it's time, like you said, liberty call, liberty call. When it's time to go home, we're trying to go home. Because I had a chief once tell me, look, I don't know what y'all got going on, but it's about to be 1100. I'm going to go home. If you want to come with me, y'all going to knock out A, B, C, D, and E so we can get up out of here, because the ship can get deployed at any time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That stuck with me. That stuck with me throughout my career.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was going to say, not to beat a dead horse or anything on the why culture, but let me tell you, I was the most bullheaded person about explaining myself.
You're bullheaded?
I know. He said it's a strength, not a weakness. No, but I was like, I'm not about to change the way that I speak because they want to know why. And it held me back as a leader for so long because I wouldn't adapt and overcome the new mentality. And I was actually holding myself back in my leadership style or in my leadership growth because I was bullheaded. And I was like, no, because I said so. Well, guess what? Those sailors didn't trust me because just saying so isn't enough. So I actually had to reevaluate myself. And I think this was in 2016 or so. So I'd been around for a long time fighting this. And, you know, it wasn't actually that long ago. And I actually had to like revamp myself and say, wow, I'm holding myself back because we could have already got the mission. But now here I am arguing with you because you want to know why. And we still got to work this whole mission. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I never tried to, you know, go back and forth with a junior sailor. It'll be kind of one of those, hey, I need you to do something. Well, PS1, why? Okay, look, I'll tell you why. But at this moment, I need you to do this right quick. Mm-hmm. And I'll explain to you why later on. That's, you know, that was my way of kind of coming down a little bit off of where, you know, of my me being a first class to kind of getting down to their level a little bit to where they can have a chance to come up and we can have a happy medium.
Yes. Once you argue, you've already lost.
Exactly.
Yep. That's
you've
true.
Already lost. You've already lost. So it's not even worth it.
Mm-hmm. Once one junior sailor see they can they argue with you, everybody else is going to think they argue with you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Lessons learned.
So now being on the let's talk about the Truman. You just got off the Truman back in December, you said?
Yes, December, yes.
Okay. So you were there how long?
I was there from November 17 to just past the summer that just passed.
So 3 years you had on the boat. Yep. So was the turnaround rate with sailors in and out of your department, was it pretty, or division, was it pretty frequent?
Not necessarily. When I got there, maybe 40% of the people were kind of on the way out when I got there. Wow. Yeah, from the master chief all the way down to the most junior third class were kind of on their way out. You know, everybody did their time. So when I came in, I kind of came in a little bit with a wave of new sailors to come that I probably just gotten in within like the last 6 months to a year.
Okay.
So majority of people I was there with, I had a good bit of time with.
Great. That's awesome. But you were there for a little time. You had a little turnover there at the beginning,
yes.
Right? So how do you, as a leader, right? As a leader in that department division, how do you welcome or make new sailors, especially the junior ones, feel like they're part of the team, part of the organization?
The first thing is, you know, sponsorship piece, right? We are, you know, the horse has been beat probably beyond dead about sponsorship, right? And the importance of sponsorship throughout the whole Navy.
Yeah.
But it is very much true because I remember coming from, you know, I checked on board Eisenhower. That was my first ship.
Yeah.
And the ship was deployed. I didn't have a sponsor, yep. Least of all, not in transit. I had a sponsor, you know, when I got there who walked me around. But as far as in transit, I didn't have that. Didn't know what to do. Didn't know what to bring, any of that. So that kind of stuck with me a little bit. Fast forward, we get off a deployment because the ship was on deployment when I checked on board. And I'm in Virginia, never been in Virginia. I never really traveled off of, you know, from the South.
Yeah.
So coming to Virginia, that was way different. Leaving the ship and not knowing where to go. Didn't really, you know, I had friends, but they all kind of, you know, did their own thing. They were familiar with the area. So I was just lost. So I never wanted, you know, any sailor that came out of my charge to, you know, to experience that. Not to say any of my leaders, you know, where I fought or anything like that. It's just for me personally, I never want to see a sailor experience that. So sponsorship was always key. Soon as orders comes and we find out we got a sailor coming, somebody reach out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't care. Call the schoolhouse. Mm-hmm. Email, you know, go to the PS page on Facebook. Ask, you know, does anybody know so-and-so? Or like I said, reach out to the schoolhouse. Let's get in contact with this person. That way we know for sure. We talk to this person. They know the expectations. And more importantly, we can see what they need, what he or she needs prior to. So when that person comes, now we're figuring out, we're hopefully we've learned everything we need to learn. You know, is the person married? You know, does the person have kids? You know, does the person have a vehicle? All that, you know, all those little nuances right there. And once we figure that out, now let's figure out how we're going to work this person into our system right here. Typically for us at PSs, usually when sailors come in, we send them to the customer service section. Cause that's what they learned about all the pay and entitlements section first before we send them to another section like separations, transfers, anything like that.
Yeah.
And then once we figure that piece out, now we talk to you over email, we talk to you over phone. Now let's talk to you in person. Let's do that. Go ahead, do that CDB, right? Now we do the CDB. Now we know what this person's goals are, and now let's find a lane. Let's find a good person within our office that's going to take and mold them and help them and get them to where they need to be at.
Yeah.
Right. So for people that are listening, if you're not military, a CDB is a career development board. Basically, you take the sailor, like Marlon said, and you just get their what do they like to do, get what makes them tick, learn what makes them tick, and that gives leadership an opportunity to let them know his or her expectations for the new sailor too.
Absolutely. You know, do you want to go to school? You know, what did you do before you came in? You know, do you have aspirations to kind of go back to that? You know, do you want to retire? Do you want to go on, you know, what career path you want to go? Do you want to just do your 4 years and get out? Do you want to, you know, retire? You know, do you want to be an officer? Do you want to be a chief? What are those career goals you want to hit? What are those milestones you want to hit? And that's kind of, you know, figuring out and then holding them accountable.
Yeah, definitely. That's important.
Hey, you say you want to, you know, get your service warfare pin by this time frame. Where are you at with it? You say you want to, you know, you said you wanted to complete a college course by this time. You know, did you apply to, you know, to school? Did you apply for tuition assistance, you know, so the Navy could pay for you to go to take this class, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of how, you know, that's one side of it, how I kind of welcome them into it. But then two, learn them on a personal side, you know, where you from, how did you grow up? You know, that kind of stuff. That's probably the most important piece. Is knowing where the person came from and how they grew up, because that can kind of give you an idea, I feel, as to how to approach that person.
How to communicate, sure. Yeah, because, you know, all of us are from the South. If you call me up and start with, I need, that's rude to me.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, how's it going? Good morning? Where's the good morning? How you doing? Yeah. Hey, you know, how's your day? You all right? Something.
Yes. Yeah, hey, exactly. Long time no talk. What's been going on with you? Just that little small talk in the beginning will open up amazing doors. But if you're like, I need this, well, you've already lost me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say this, and I will admit I was probably in the dead wrong for doing this, but there have been plenty of leaders, E7 and above, that have came to me, PSY, X, Y, and Z. Hey, good morning. How are you?
Oh, yeah, I've done it, man.
I mean, like, yeah. You know, like where's that, you know, mm-hmm. Can I get a little bit of that? You know, I grew up in a household where if my grandma, you know, if I saw her and I'm just waking up, I better say good morning. Oh, she's going to turn. She's going to double back and say good morning.
I want to get popped in the back of the head.
Exactly. So
what did my dad say this morning? He sends a text message. We were on our way to church and my 17-year-old, he didn't say nothing back. And he said, tell that 17-year-old grandson, grown men say good morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And man, I'm glad you brought something up because I've been curious about this. So you're coming from a ship a few months ago. I don't know if this was in your time frame or not, but they changed the whole E-SWAS thing.
They did.
You shipped in?
So when I got there, pretty much any and everybody was getting served.
Yeah, so we had,
I seen E3's
dual qual.
Exactly. Now, granted, nothing against E3's being dual qual because I was dual qual to E3.
Right.
However, it was stipulation. Job, yeah, it was because the stipulation was back then you had to be on a ship. You had to be E3 for one, and you had to be on board the ship at least a year.
Yeah.
Before you can apply for it.
Right. Right.
But nowadays, you know, because of the way the policy is, well, you know, at one point it was mandatory for pretty much everybody to get it.
Right. Right.
And I think now it's just at the E5. I think it's back to the E5, E4 level, maybe.
Yeah. E4, if you're like shit hot, though.
Yeah. You can pretty much go ahead and get it. But
yeah. But E5 is where it's mandatory. And
that's kind of how it always been, too, even since, you know, from when I first came in. E5 was mandatory.
Well, I got my pin in 2000. It wasn't even mandatory when I got mine. I'm old as hell, but no, I saw.
He came in before there were pins.
Yeah, no, they were. Come on now. But I remember when I came in, there was tons of people without their pins. It wasn't even a big deal. People were making chief without a pin.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was extra points on your rating exam.
Yep, I want to say they probably stopped it a few years before I came in.
Oh, okay, yeah,
Because when I came, like my first ship, I had second classes that were like, you know, oh, I'm not getting my pin and, you know, it's not worth it, blah, blah, blah. And that kind of feeds back into that mentorship mentality, that sponsorship mentality, because I fell into that until I realized that, you know, getting my pin was actually worth something, you know, from the viewpoints of senior leadership. Like, okay, this girl actually, you know, gives a damn about his or her career a little bit, you know, cares about, you know, what they do. You know what I mean? Let's pay a little more attention to them. Let's, you know, kind of mold and, you know, push them in the right direction a little bit. So like, I got dual qual as a seaman.
They're killing it, man.
Back in 2008. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, like I said, going on the Truman and seeing, like I said, junior sales getting it. It's just coming, you know. And not saying they're gun deck or anything like that. A lot of them, they're legit studying. They're legit taking the time and getting the quals and stuff like that. But it's from then when I got mine up until now, it's like night and day.
Yeah, yeah. I was a third class, but not because I was like great. It just took me forever to make second.
It took me forever to make third.
Oh, really?
Because when I came in, they were phasing us out.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
2009, no PSs advanced. We had people pick up chief, but as far as E46, that was dead in the water.
Yeah,
I want to. Finally, somebody big Navy said, "Okay, well, we need PSs, so let's kind of open them back up a little bit."
Right.
And I end up getting capped third. So
okay.
Yeah, I ended up getting capped third at the time, and I made second my second time up when I was on shore duty, and I made first my first time up.
Wow, first quit.
Wow,
yeah, I studied hard. I probably studied harder than I've ever studied. My wife will tell you I studied hard. I mean, I was studying like 2 hours at work. I was coming home, sitting in a recliner, studying because I wanted to make first, you know, more so because, you know, we were having another child. So I'm like, I had to get this extra money. Okay.
Yeah.
By any means. So, but I studied hard and I made first by the hair of my teeth.
Well, it don't matter.
They still call you.
What they call the guy that finished last in med school? Doctor, you know?
Yeah. So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It took me a while to kind of just, okay. I made first. I'm kind of over it now.
I made second by 0.02. I was the line damn near. So I got you.
It's not first. I think I made first by like point four, something like that. Yeah, like 0.4.
That's extra credit.
I never forget. I was taking an exam and I was the last person to finish. And I turned my exam in and the ESO said, "Hey, PS2, you forgot a question." I'm like, "Oh, snap." So I went back. I looked at the question. I'm okay. I still remember the question to this day. It was a question about the EDVR.
Uh-huh.
And I knew the question. For whatever reason, I skipped over it, answered the question, turned it in. And I think that right there was what made me put on first class.
Because if you would have missed that question, you would have probably made the cut.
I wouldn't have made the cut.
So what's the answer?
The question was, what section was prospective gains? And it's section one. Even though we don't do EDVR anymore, but at the time it was section one.
But was it C?
Was it C?
I want to say it was like B. I want to say it was like B.
For those that don't understand what we're talking about, just for those civilians that might be listening. So ESWAS is a pin that we a sailor gets on a ship. He learns about the ship, all departments, engineering, combat systems, operations, deck. Mm-hmm. He or she takes a test, and then a board of qualified sailors drills the hell out of them for hours.
Yes.
To make sure they know it. And then if they get through all that, they get awarded a, it's called an ESWAS pin. They wear on their uniform. And it's, you know, it's a sign that you took the time to learn everything about the ship and you wear it on your uniform.
And it's the requirements are so different now. I remember going to get mine, and it was only one board. And it was one chief that sat in the board, just kind of, you know, kind of paying attention, observing, make sure everybody was ethically correct. And I had second classes, first classes on my board, and it was a done deal. Now you have to do, okay, not only do you have to do the test, you have to do a murder board.
Yeah.
You have to do the final, you have to do a final board with chiefs. So that part was something different.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't have murder boards for me. I just took the test and I went and took a board. And that's when the CMC set every ESWAS board on the ship.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
But they had different pay grades, usually E5 through E9. Sitting the board and asking you questions. It's a little different. But yeah, still a big accomplishment though. Yeah, no matter how they do it. But let's circle back to a new sailor coming in. So you touched about, you know, how you take care of them while they're en route. You know, I know you reach out to their command and try to get a hold to them. There are somebody that might know them prior to them to your command. So you can start the sponsorship program as soon as possible. And I do that too. I always reach out to the CMC at a former command. Hey, can you get me in contact with so-and-so? But when they come on board the ship, you put them in customer service, right? So they can learn a little bit of everything. But yeah, how do you make them?
Usually if it's a brand new PS that's coming, you know, out of A school, typically we'll put them in a customer service section. Cause again, customer service section is where we handle pretty much all the pay related stuff. You know, hey, I got a question about my BH, my C pay, you know, my flight deck pay, whatever it is, you know, that section where we put them at first to learn that section. Now we're going to see that they got experience, you know, we'll figure out, okay, where are we, you know, where are we going to be gathered? Where are we going to need people at, you know, do I have somebody leaving? What section do I have somebody leaving out? So I got to just do a swap and, you know, hopefully, you know, they can do a turnover. But if this person has experience in that section, that's even better.
Okay. Yeah. But how do you make that sailor feel good as far as part of the team? Like your team?
So what I typically, honestly, I only play a small role. So from what I've seen being on board Truman, a lot of those junior sailors, they embrace each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They will take, somebody will come in and say, hey man, you got a car? Hey, you want to ride with us? And we're going to get lunch. You want to come with us? And they just kind of it takes off on their own. That's what they got to do love about the sailors of today. Mm-hmm. They will take and embrace each other. And they will say, hey, you know, whether they're going out on Virginia Beach and on Oceanfront to go hang out, or whether they're going, you know, downtown Norfolk, or whether they're just going to go get chow, they will take and embrace each other. For me as a leader, I sit down with them and ask them, you know, how are you adjusting? You know, is there anything, you know, that's going on that's bothering you? Is there anything you see that's kind of, you know, messed up that you think we need to kind of fix? And they'll kind of give me their feedback on what they see. A lot of times, most of them is kind of just a little nervous. So they kind of just, you know, nah, everything's fine. And I'm like, okay.
But everything's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So my ass, I'm broke as hell, but everything's fine.
So usually when they kind of give me those answers, you know, I kind of just, you know, keep in mind, okay, I'm going to kind of revisit that because I know something they see probably isn't right. They're probably just nervous, you know, for something on the ship. They're talking to somebody senior. They don't really know, you know, who's who and what's what around a command, that kind of stuff. But like I said, we kind of, I give you this, gives a little nuance. We celebrate birthdays a lot.
Yeah.
So we had a big calendar on in the office. Everybody's birthday was on the calendar. So every time somebody had a birthday, we did something, even underway, whether it's going to go get, you know, having CSs make a little cake, you know, we get some snacks from the ship store, something like that, and just to celebrate that person and say, hey, happy birthday.
That's awesome, you know,
something like that, you know, to make them kind of, you know, make them feel like, oh, wow, my team here, the people here really care about me. They remember my birthday.
That's good. That's important.
That's good. I fail at that. I do. I forget that. I'm bad about that.
Yeah. His date's not good. Dates aren't good with him.
I'm good. I just don't think about birthdays.
Yeah.
That's my fault. But being on the carrier, Marlon, you got a lot of issues. There's some bad sailors out there. There's bad everywhere, right?
Yes, absolutely.
What do you do? Like, you see your sailor, right, hanging out with maybe some bad elements.
Bad apples.
What I honestly do, I pull them to the side, whether we in a berthing, whether we're in a P-Way, we're in an office, and I tell them, look, and I just, you know, I back to transparency. Look, I don't want to talk ill about this person, but they've been in these situations. That may be your friend, and that's fine. I'm not going to tell you who you can and can't hang out with, but you need to watch yourself. You be mindful who you're hanging out with. I always tell them, look, don't get yourself caught up in trying to be cool.
Right.
You could be, just because you hang out with this person coming to work late, the chief is always writing them up, and this person always, you know, in trouble. It sounds like it's cool. It sounds like it's fun, right? But it's not.
Yeah.
You don't want to be labeled as that person that's always getting jammed up for something. It's always in the wrong. It's always getting in trouble. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
So you need to, hey, you can hang out with that person, but you need to be mindful of what you need to do. Because again, this is your career. Because at the end of the day, if this person get in trouble and get kicked out, you still here. You still got to figure it out. So be mindful who you're hanging out with. Be mindful of your audience.
Yeah, man. You see that guy you're hanging out with, that third class? Go, yeah, well, a year ago, he was the first class.
and it's been scenarios like that. It's been a lot of scenarios like that where I've seen first class or third class, and you know, person gets disgruntled, and now it's feeding that bad energy on everybody else. And now it's like, look, hey, that may be your friend. I'm not saying don't distance yourself from your friend, but you need to tell your friend, look, hey, we need to bounce back. You chill on that, all right? Because now you messing up, because now I'm hanging with you and you were saying everything else. You're saying, you were going around being disgruntled and saying, you know, F the Navy and, you know, F this command and I'm getting out and all this other kind of stuff. And now I'm hanging with you. Now that's rubbing off on me. Now I'm looking at this kind of way and I'm not even on that. So
yeah.
I always tell my sellers, be mindful of your audience, be mindful of you hanging out with.
Definitely. Yep. Watch the company you keep.
Absolutely.
Heck yeah. So we talked about, first of all, you know, how you build your team, right, over at work. And how do you welcome these junior sailors? How do you get them started in their careers, especially these first look at the Navy after boot camp and A school, the real Navy, right? Because we always say boot camp, A school. That's not the real Navy. Real Navy is when you hit that fleet, right?
Hey, absolutely.
So, but you know, with different personalities, like you talked about, where you got to the Truman, right? And you had all these different personalities, 30 different personalities. Conflict happens, right, Marlon?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do, man? What's the LPO do?
Oh man,
I'm gonna explain to everybody how important that role is that the LPO plays. So in the Navy, LPO is still considered we call them blue shirts, right? E6 and below. So they are the highest leader of that blue shirt company.
And that so ranks. For the new sailors, that stems from when we used to wear utilities,
right?
Blue shirt and then the khakis. So that's why blue shirt.
That's why they're called blue shirts. But you know, E6 and junior. So they, in the ships, the LPO, if they're the same gender, right, they sleep in the same berthing, they around them, they go to the same chow hall.
Mm-hmm.
Now chiefs and above, they sleep in a different berthing. They go to a different chow area, galley area to eat. So they are with them all the time. So that leadership at that level is so important. So the LPO to me, it was the hardest job I ever did because you got dumped on. You got taught from the top. You got taught from the bottom. You're the guy in the middle keeping everything running. Mm-hmm. So you were like a duck, right? So a duck is looking so smooth on the water, but underneath his legs are going a mile a minute.
Yep.
You're hustling, but calm, cool, and collective to everybody else. So that's how important. That's how much I'll tell Jamie all the time. I don't envy you. That was the hardest job I ever did, was be the LPO. That sucked. So we'll get back to the topic. Managing conflict. Now, you're the guy, right? You have to do that because you don't want the chief to be getting involved.
Mm-mm.
So what do you do?
So for the minute I had it's been situations where, hey, come on, let's go to the birthing. Let's go to birthing. We had a little table in the birthing. All right, let's figure it out. What's the issue? What's the issue between y'all two? But before we get into the issue, I tell them straight up, and, you know, hey, I don't give up about what y'all got going on, but y'all need to figure it out. Because what's going to happen is you're going to get yourselves caught up. And then the CAG is going to get involved. And it's going to be out of my hands. I can't help you.
Yeah.
So to help you and help the situation for us to move forward, talk about what y'all got going. What's the issue? Talk about what y'all differences are. If you don't want to shake hands, that's fine. You don't got to shake hands. But y'all need to come to an agreement, you know, a conflict resolution type agreement and keep it moving. Because all that going back and forward, throwing jabs at each other, it's not helping.
Yeah.
You know, and what you did right there, Marlon, was so important because Heath and I are in business school and we just did a whole section on conflict resolution. And the whole point of this is that you cannot allow conflict to happen within your division or whatever it may be and not engage. Because if you do not engage the conflict, if you just let it go, it will fester and it will completely break your house down, right? That you're trying to build. So a lot of, I've actually had some leaders who just were not confrontational. They didn't want to get in the weeds, and it just crumbled the entire house down. So what you did there by bringing them to that's engaging that conflict. And that's so important, you know, in leadership.
Well, yeah. The only way to really bring down a powerful kingdom is from within. Mm-hmm. So it's fighting within that's going to bring it down. And that is great. What you said about taking them away from the work environment, getting away from the eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the people watching them.
Yep.
That's good. I like that. Bring him down there, talk to him. Because, yeah, you don't want, when he said khakis, that's the chiefs and above, or, you know, pay grades E7 and above. When he said khakis, they're the leadership. They're the upper echelon of leadership in the command. But no, that's great. Get them out of there. So you don't see even the junior, if they're senior, you don't want to see the junior guys seeing them fight. And yeah. get them through it.
Absolutely. Like, I never want to see the other junior sailors see them too have a, yeah, you know, have a spat on me being in the Perfect. Middle of it. Because again, one, I don't want nobody picking sides. Yep. And say, well, this person was wrong, that person was wrong. If you have your opinion on it, that's fine. No big deal about it. But what we're gonna do right now, we're gonna figure that situation out. We're gonna come to a quick, you know, agree to disagree. Y'all can pound, y'all can shake hands, y'all can dab it up, hug, whatever, it's fine. And then we want to keep it moving after that, because at the end of the day, the ultimate goal while we're on this ship is to go home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Go home. You guys go home to your families. You go do whatever that you do outside of working hours, unless you got duty, then you got to be on the ship. But nonetheless, the ultimate goal is to go home, because while we're on the ship, we can get deployed at any time.
Yeah.
So right now, this little rift that y'all have going on, we need to figure that out.
Definitely. Definitely.
And a lot of times is to me, it's something petty. You know, this person might be talking to this person wrong. Okay, this person might be the supervisor and might be tasking you with something. You say, well, why am I always getting tasked with something petty?
Yeah.
So the petty things are easy. I haven't, it's fortunate for me, I haven't had any serious situations where, you know, somebody might have did or said something that was truly offensive to somebody. To a level where, you know, it could get escalated to go and see the captain of the ship. Thank God for that. But but like I said, most of the stuff is just little petty stuff. It's like, okay, we can figure it out. We can talk about it. We're all adults.
But Marlon, that petty stuff can fester into something
it
real
could
big.
I mean, true.
So yeah, maybe, and you prevented that.
Mm-hmm. You know? True, and absolutely. And that's why I've been, every time something goes, like, come here, y'all two, you know, let's talk.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Because people don't, unless you've done it, it's hard to understand what it's like being at sea for 6 months to a year straight, or being deployed for a year.
Yeah. I was in Djibouti for a whole year.
So, I see these, you never get used to it. You might do it 100 times. You can tolerate it easier, but you never get, I won't say used to it. So you're 4 months into a 10 month long deployment, and you haven't seen your spouse, your kids, or whatever in months. I mean, tensions get high.
Absolutely.
Really high. It might be something that in port you would never think twice about, but during that time, that shit pisses you off, whatever it is. And it could come to blows, or that bickering, that petty stuff you're talking about that normally wouldn't upset somebody. But that 4 months of not seeing the spouse, not seeing the kids can really affect them in a negative way.
Absolutely. And you hit it right on the head. A lot of times when we're underway, it's those little small things. Like we hadn't hit a port visit. We haven't hit a port visit in over 30 some days.
Yeah.
You know, the gyms might be crowded. The child lines are long.
Oh my God.
You know, it's just, you know, we might be in River City where we can't email off and say, you know, hey, I love you to somebody. Right.
Right. And they and you're worried about them thinking, oh, he's not even thinking about me, or she's not even thinking
exactly.
About
me. Or you might have those ones that can't order something off of Amazon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. You know, it's all of that frustration is building up. So
get on Facebook.
That's the most, man. It was so many. I've seen so many people frustrated, couldn't get on Facebook. I never really got on Facebook when I was on deployment.
Like, yeah.
I'm emailing my wife. That's right, what it was.
Crazy.
You know, but to stay on topic, you know, like I said, those small little conflicts, it happens.
Yeah.
It's been a few little tussles I had to like step in, like, okay, let's separate this. Hey, you go this way, you go this way. Let's walk and talk. Hey, and then I gotta, you know, I always say I gotta switch hats.
Yeah.
I always feel like as a leader, you have to be everything to a sailor when we're E6 and above. Sometimes E5 and above, depending upon, you know, what kind of command you're at and what position you're in. Yeah. You have to be everything to a sailor. Sometimes you gotta be mom. Sometimes you gotta be dad.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta be big brother, big sister.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta be, you know, that cool uncle or aunt that gives them, you know, those little gems to kind of help them think about what they're doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to be an Uber driver because the car.
Oh, true.
Because the sailor car might broke down,
or he might be too drunk to drive.
Exactly. you know, sometimes you may be, you know, I want to say ATM. It's not like you're giving the sailors money, but you know, every once in a while, sailor might be going through something. Hey, let me buy you lunch right quick. It's on me. And then you kind of figure out what's going on with that sailor, right?
Yeah.
You have to be everything to a sailor. So situations like that is like, okay, we got a lot of aggression going on. We're on deployment, internet's trash, everything is going wrong, and now this happens. Yeah. Okay, let's break it up. Let me talk to you. What's on your mind? Okay, let me talk to you. What's on your mind? Okay, now let me talk to both of y'all. You guys are being petty. You guys know me. You guys trust me. You guys understand. You know, I value my opinion, and I appreciate that. So value this opinion. You're being petty. It's not that deep. It's not that serious. I said you got to think. You have to think about. And I've said this before. Think about the soldier, the airman, the sailor, the marine that's in Afghanistan or Iraq right now.
Yeah.
That can get blown up, that's getting shot at. Mm-hmm. It's not sure if they're gonna, that's not even sure if they're gonna make it home. Think about the ships that got attacked before in naval history. Thank God we ain't in that scenario right now.
Yeah,
so to go back and forth on you being told to check the trash out, it's petty right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move past that. So we can kind of wrap up what we can get done for the day so we can keep it moving. So it's always been those kind of little tips I've had to deal with.
Right. No, that's good. That's great. Cause you can always be in a worse situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I totally agree with that. And I think that just unity as a whole, we had a unique look today inside of unity and building teamworks. And, you know, we just really appreciate you coming on with us today, Marlon, because you've brought a lot of insight from that perspective, especially the ship that, you know, a lot of people don't have. And it's been great just, you know, realizing what you're going through out there out to sea.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like being a leader at sea when you're in the Navy. I've always thought that was like the peak, not the peak of my career was being a chief or a first class at sea. And it's just something about it's just Navy stuff there. And I always liked it.
And you know what's good about that too? is because when you at sea, especially in deployment, it's not just your sailors that come to you for advice.
Everybody's.
It's everybody. It's sailors that's in the squadrons that are TAD to some command or TAD to your department or division.
Yeah.
Everybody comes and, you know, and they see, and they watch you. They watch how you move. They watch how you conduct yourselves. And they may say, and you may be that, hey, I like the way this person is. So, hey, so-and-so, can you know, how do you do this? How do you go about that? Will you be my mentor? Yeah. And that's kind of, that's one of those things where, you know, it's a blessing, but it also can somewhat be a curse, right? Because now you may have 20 different mentors, 20 different mentees, and if you're trying to, you know, get in different, you know, different lanes, but you still got to internalize and fix yourself too.
Oh right. Yeah. You got to catch yourself slipping.
Exactly. You still have to find time to do stuff for yourself. You still got to find time to work out, to, you know, achieve your, you know, your qualifications, to achieve your, you know, your small goals, do what you want to, you know, to do what you need to do and want to do. So that piece can get a little tough too.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, like you said, being underway and being able to talk to the younger sailors and being able to help them and push them in the right direction, that is a great gift.
Yeah, man. I mean, you taking care of yourself, they need to see that too, because they need to know they can take care of themselves too. Go work
absolutely
out, do, you know, go to church, whatever you do, you need to be able to, they need to see you do that too, because it's important that they have not only spiritual growth, professional growth, and all that plays into a successful sailor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was one thing I do remember about being on the ship is when you on Sundays, you get to see how much camaraderie really happens.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's holiday routine.
Holiday routine.
So that's where, you know, you kind of just relaxing, you know, especially during football season, you're watching Armed Forces Network. You're watching all four in the morning, you know, as early as 4 a.m. till 10 o'clock at night, watching games. You'll be 7 to 10 hours ahead of, you know, the US, and, you know, sailors just kind of, you know, mingling, just kind of hanging out, you know, not really thinking about work. Yeah, some sailors are doing work, but most of the part, everybody's not doing work and just kind of just mingling, just kind of hanging out, and just kind of let your hair down, you know, as expression says.
Yeah,
that's one thing I do appreciate, you know, by being on the
show. Hey, you love those Sundays. You love those Sundays.
Not only do you get to sleep in, you get to sleep in, but I can go to sleep early. I get hang out a little bit and go sleep early enough to where Monday, I know Monday is going to be crazy. So yeah. I can go lay down and go to sleep early enough to where I can get up early to where I'm prepared to deal with a Monday.
Exactly. Yeah, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Marlon. Like Jamie said, you've put a lot of insight on that leadership at sea, on that conflict management at sea. It's a different beast. And thank you for reminding me and putting a lot of insight into a lot of people that don't know. It's been awesome. It's been awesome, man.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity. I saw this post on Facebook and I was like, EAT podcast. I'm like, okay, that sounds cool. And then I saw the caption say, hey, email or message if you want to be a part. And I'm like, okay, I want to be a part. I want to be a part of the movement of, you know, again, speaking positivity out there from our perspective, for those of us that serve, for those of us that, you know, that have served, you know, we have stories to tell. You know, see stories, you know, the good, the bad, and in between. So I saw it, and like I said, I told my wife, hey, I'm about to hit him up right now. I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of, you know, a part of a movement.
I think you're the first one.
I think you are the first one that hit us on the email, because I was like, nobody's emailing us.
Somebody shared this in one of the Facebook pages. I want to say it was a basic mentoring page that's on Facebook. And I saw it. I'm like, okay, that's cool, you know. And I'm like, maybe I can learn something too, because again, you know we're all military and we're starting our own podcast, you know, a couple, you know, my two friends, Dwayne and Albert. So why not, you know, learn something and, you know, kind of see how things kind of go. And it's been a blessing. It really has. It's really been a blessing to kind of, you know, have this conversation with you all and, you know, learn a little bit. And like I said, just having this conversation kind of, you know, inspired me a little bit too, even, you know, knowing that I'm doing something good right now. I've done something good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's how we feel as well with this whole podcast, and that's our goal, you know, to spread positivity, you provide those little leadership nuggets out to those that need it, and just continue to inspire and that sort of stuff. So I guess if you do have questions for Marlon or anything, you can always email us at e14podcast@gmail.com or hit us on any of our social media platforms and we'll get them over to him and then get back to you with that information.
Yeah, and pretty soon they'll have their own Keeping a Military podcast.
Keeping it a Mill podcast. It'll be coming soon. You'll be able to find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Twitter seems to be a
thing. Get on it, man.
Yeah. It's his thing. I don't know if it's a thing. It's my thing.
YouTube is, hopefully YouTube as well. Create a YouTube channel. Once we figure out the situation to, be able to record and be able to, visually, have a podcast going on for everybody to see us, put a face to a name, post some YouTube videos, hope that'll come down the line as well.
Cool.
And we're here for you. Yep, we're here for definitely. All of it to help y'all through it.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. So thanks so much, everybody, for listening to today's podcast. And as always, fair winds
and following seas.